Welcome to Burnside at Home. Thank you for joining with us for our online service of worship for Sunday the 10th of January. As I'm recording this and putting the final video together, it is looking very, very likely that church buildings will be closed on Sunday and may indeed remain closed for 4 weeks. But of course, this could change at any moment because of the current coronavirus situation. Our services will remain available online, but please let anyone who doesn't have internet know about our telephone line, even those who are not members of Burnside, that if they telephone 028 9344 7199, then for the cost of a local call, which may well be included free in your telephone package, you can listen to our entire service. Now, also note today that this recording was made at the end of December and was intended for Sunday, the 27th of December. It was replaced that Sunday with a special service conducted by the moderator. I've been able to edit most of the service appropriately, but there are a few references to being in that period between Christmas and New Year, and Jim McCracken still has his Christmas tree on display. I also had originally included some Christmas carols, so the first couple of hymns will appear without an introduction. We're going to be singing Abide With Me and then Psalm 130, a beautiful version by Keith and Kristen Getty, I Will Wait For You. Now, I hope none of that detracts from our worship of Almighty God today. And now all that's left for me to do is to hand over to the minister for today.
Welcome to Burnside at Home, and thank you for joining with us on our online service today. You're very welcome wherever you happen to be and whatever your circumstances as we come to worship Almighty God. This is a strange Sunday that we're meeting today. And for once, I don't mean anything to do with coronavirus. We're sitting in that period between Christmas Day and New Year's Day. It's always a strange week in the calendar, not knowing what to do, not knowing where to be. And it's also strange whenever we come to church because we've just had all the build-up to Christmas. We've been through Advent for the last 4 weeks. And now today, we're in that strange position of not really having a theme and not sure where we're going. So today, we're going to explore this idea of now and not yet. Because this is a theme that crops up throughout the Bible, and it crops up in the way that God deals with us and deals with his people. There are many things in the Bible that are now and not yet. And so today we're going to look at those as we worship together and explore them. You see, we've been waiting for Christmas, waiting with hope. But now that Christmas is over, we still have all the things that we had before Christmas. There's still coronavirus. There is still loneliness for some. There are still strains on mental health for others. There's still financial concerns. There is still the uncertainty. We have the hope of Christ now, but not yet. We know that Jesus is with us now, but also not yet. We have eternal life in all of its abundance now, but not yet. We're redeemed from our sin now, but not yet. And so as we go through God's word, we see this time and time again, that promises are made and we know the reality of them now, but not yet. There's more to come than the now that we're experiencing. We get a little bit of the promise now. We have a lot of the promise now, but there's still more to come. So, today, let's keep that thought in our minds as we go through our service and as we worship God together, as we thank him for the now, but we also anticipate the not yet. Just a few things that are coming up that I want to draw your attention to. Do remember that we are meeting on Sundays in the church building, relying on God's will at this time and depending upon the restrictions that governments introduce. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m., but do keep an eye on the church website for details of that, just to make sure that nothing has changed. Of course, Burnside at Home, this online service, continues Sunday by Sunday if you're not able to be with us or if restrictions are brought in. Also remember our daily blog on the website, Monday to Friday, with the Beside the Burn Bible study each day, which is a short little video giving you some thoughts on God's Word. And we've just finished a little series going through Advent, through the book of Hebrews. That's still available on the website, and you can look at it at any time that you want. And now we're looking together at the 12 days of Christmas and seeing the gifts that God has given to us at this time of year. Do keep an eye on the website for any changes to our program. And each Saturday, I send out an email detailing what's coming up that weekend and giving you other information. If you don't receive that email, then please send an email to burnsidechurch@gmail.com and I will add your address to the list. And we did change the software that we're sending out that email with a few months ago, and perhaps your spam filter is picking it up now. Do have a look in your spam folder, and if it's there, then bring it into your inbox and add burnsidechurch@gmail.com to your contact list, and then that will make sure that you get it each day. So today we're thinking about now and not yet. And Paul, writing to the Philippians, refers to this idea. He wants to know Jesus Christ. He wants to know the power of forgiven sin. And in a way, he does know it now, but not yet. He knows that his sins are forgiven, and yet there's much, much more to come when Jesus returns. It's still something that he strives for each day. So in Philippians 3, verses 10 to 12, we read, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." So let's think about this now and not yet, and let's come before God in prayer together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we want to give you thanks and we want to praise you. We thank you for the anticipation that we had all through Advent, as we were waiting for the arrival of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you now that Jesus is with us now, but not yet, as we look ahead and we anticipate his second coming. We thank you today, Lord, that we know the wonder of your salvation now in our lives, but also not yet, as we struggle with sin day by day. And we need to keep coming to you and asking for forgiveness. But Lord, we look forward to that day when we will be made perfect and brought into your presence for all eternity. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the eternal life that we have now, life in all its abundance, life with blessing after blessing. But we also recognize eternal life not yet. And we look forward to that day that you return with that life and you resurrect us so that we can be with you and so that we can dwell with you for all eternity. And Lord God, like the Apostle Paul today, we want to know Jesus Christ. We want to know more of Jesus in our lives, and we thank you that now we do know Jesus, and yet not yet. There is more to come. There is more to know. And so day by day, Lord, we love being in your presence, reading your word, turning to you in prayer so that we might get to know you better. So Lord, be with us this day. Help us as we worship, that we would truly bring glory to your holy name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Coming to God in prayer once again today, and we're bringing our prayers for others. And right throughout December, we've been following the suggestions that the moderator has given to us in his call for prayer that first Sunday in Advent. And it is important that we show ourselves as a church to be an essential part of the life of our nation, that we pray for our nation, that we sustain our nation in prayer. It would be good if the government were to call for a day of prayer, recognizing the importance of prayer. But we know that our Heavenly Father hears us. And so therefore we bring these prayers to Him today. And even though we're praying for the same things, we persevere in prayer day by day and week by week. So let's come before God today with our prayers for others. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today, first of all, for the offering. We thank you for all that people have contributed today. And we ask, Lord, that that offering would be used for your glory and for your honor. We continue to pray under the direction of the moderator, and we pray about COVID today. We thank you for the advances that have taken place. We thank you for hospital staff. And we pray, Lord, that under the pressures that they are now under, that you would sustain them and help them and guide them day by day. We continue to pray about the rollout of the vaccine. And we thank you for those who have received it so far. And we pray, Lord, for the logistical concerns and the rollout in all its different forms, that everything would run smoothly, that the second jabs would be administered at the right time, and that people would have more freedom because of the vaccine. Lord, we pray for chaplains in hospitals who are working under difficult circumstances day by day. We pray that you would enable them to minister to patients where their home ministers are not able to gain access and to draw alongside them. We pray that you would be with them in this vital work. Lord, we also pray today about COVID overseas, and we continue to pray for South Sudan and the Democratic Republic of Congo and the work of Christian Aid and Tear Fund. We thank you for the moderator's appeal and the opportunity to give towards this work, and we pray day by day, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in those lands who seek to reach out as churches there to help those who are in need. Lord, we continue to pray for the global mission workers from our Presbyterian Church, recognizing the pressures that they have been under and the difficulties that they have faced as they have tried to carry on with their mission work. We pray that you would use them, Lord, under these changed circumstances and help them day by day as they administer your grace, as they bring others closer to you. So, Lord God, we bring these prayers to you today. And, Lord, we look to you because you are the one who is able to help us. We pray for all those who are vulnerable and struggling today, whether at home or whether in care, whether in hospital or feeling well. We ask, Lord, that you would draw alongside, that you would be a comfort and a strength in all that they do. For Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our Bible reading today is from Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. And it's going to be read to us by Jim McCracken.
Philippians 3, 7 to 14. But whatever was to profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
seems to be dominated day by day by two things, coronavirus and Brexit. Two items of news that we will be glad to hear the end of whenever we get through this current period. But no matter how much we want to see the back of them, both these issues help us to understand what we're looking at today, this idea of now but not yet. First of all, the coronavirus, and especially the vaccine. The vaccine is now and not yet. It's been developed. Some people have already received it. But for the rest of us, it is not yet. It's coming. But we have to be patient and we have to wait for it to be rolled out. Brexit is happening now, but also not yet. Not all the deals have been finalized. There's a period of grace for supermarkets to be able to continue to import food. And so in a way, Brexit is now and not yet. There's still more to come, and we have to wait to hear what those decisions are going to be and how it is going to affect our lives. So we have now and not yet. It's something that we need to understand to help us understand many of the things that we read about in the Bible. For example, Advent, that we've just come through, that period of waiting on the coming of Jesus Christ, the child born in and laid in a manger. Perhaps Advent is a good place to start. We wait for the arrival of the Messiah, and we have reached Christmas Day, and it is now. Advent is now. But his coming is also not yet. We're now waiting for the second coming of Jesus. Each year as we anticipate Christmas, we're also looking ahead to when he will return again. We don't know when that will be, but we know that it is coming. It's now and not yet. There's a build-up, long years of waiting. There were the prophecies in the Old Testament, like Isaiah that we looked at last week together. And in a way, all these things were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And yet, they haven't been fulfilled yet. We have all those wonderful titles of Jesus, that he will be the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, that he will be the one who will bring an end to war. He will be light in the darkness. He will remove all gloom. And in a way, that has happened now, but there's much more to come when he returns. There's much more to Advent than what we have experienced so far. As Paul put it, now we see through a glass dimly, then we shall see clearly. The now and not yet. Another area where this idea helps us to understand what's happening day to day is in death. Death has lost its power. Now, but not yet. We know that Jesus Christ has conquered death. We know that Jesus went to the cross to die in our place so that we don't have to die. But at the same time, we know that death is ahead of us. If Jesus doesn't return, then one day we will die. So we do have to face death, but Jesus has conquered death. How can we hold those two together? Well, it's now and not yet. Death has been conquered. 1 Corinthians 15, we read, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death has been swallowed up. That is the conclusion. That is what has happened. It is now, but it's not yet. There's more of this reality to come. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, but not yet. Death is still a problem. It separates us from loved ones, but it will not separate us from God. And so even though we face death, we're only facing the shadow of death because Jesus Christ has dealt with it. And we have that reality now that we're not hopeless as we face death because we have the sure and certain hope of the life to come. And therefore, death has lost its power now, but not yet. There is more to come. One day, we will be resurrected to a new life, a new heaven and a new earth. And we look forward to that day. Then we also see this idea of now and not yet with regard to Satan and Satan's defeat. At the cross, Satan was defeated. And yet, he still roams around the world today. He still tempts us. He still invites us to sin. And many times we give in to that temptation and we do sin. And yet, Satan has been defeated now, but not yet. He still has a certain amount of freedom to roam the world and to tempt and to cause mayhem. Why that is, we're not truly sure, but God is in control. And Satan cannot do anything that God will not allow him to do. So he has been defeated now, but the final defeat is still to come. So with regard to Satan, now and not yet. Revelation 20, verses 1 and 2, where John is writing about seeing what is happening to Satan. And he says, "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. John sees the binding of Satan. John sees the defeat. And then he goes on in verse 3. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time." Satan is defeated. And we know that he is restrained in these days. And when Jesus comes again, then he will be thrown into the abyss. And he will have no more power over us. He will have no more opportunity to tempt us and to drag us away. So the now and not yet help us to understand death, help us to understand Satan's defeat. But it also helps us understand positive things in God's word. It helps us understand Emmanuel, God with us. Because in that first Advent, when Jesus came, he was described as Emmanuel, God with us. It is now God is with us, but it is also not yet because there's more to come. Jesus here with us, the Holy Spirit dwelling with us, but one day we will be in his presence for all eternity. So it's still to come as it's described in the next chapter of Revelation, chapter 21. John says, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' Now the dwelling of God is with men, but not yet. It's still to come, as John writes here. Death has been defeated, and yet there's more to come. Mourning has been eased, but then there will be no more mourning. Crying and pain bring us comfort through Jesus Christ, but there's a time coming whenever they will be gone completely, now but not yet. So if you're wondering what is to come, if you're wondering why things aren't perfect here on earth, then remember that there is an element of now but not yet. And the two things throughout God's word go together and join together. We have a taste now, and then there is more to come. And then Jim read to us from Philippians chapter 3. And there Paul is dealing with this idea of now and not yet. And he is speaking about knowing Jesus Christ. He knows Jesus now, but there's much more to know about Jesus. It's now and not yet. There is more to come for Paul. Paul's doing an analysis of his life here. He's weighing up what has happened in his life. It's the sort of thing we might do at this time of year as we're about to start a new year. We look back over the year that has gone. We evaluate what has happened, and we decide what we want to do in the year ahead. And Paul, after that evaluation, says in Philippians 3, verse 7, "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I now consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him." Paul wants to know Jesus, and he recognizes that there's much that he knows about Jesus, and yet there is much, much more to come. He has knowledge of Jesus now, but not yet. And so his desire is to know Jesus and to get to know him more and more. He decides that everything else in his life is pointless and useless apart from knowing Jesus. And knowing Jesus Christ is the most important thing for him. Paul says in verses 10 and 11, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." These are powerful words that Paul is writing to the Philippian church. It's okay that he wants to know the power of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection, but to join in his sufferings, Paul is recognizing that whenever we suffer, we are drawn closer to God. We have a greater appreciation of who God is. Somehow or other in the suffering, God is able to reveal himself to us. And whenever we suffer, we recognize that Jesus suffered. And we recognize what he did for us. And we realize the extent of his love for us, that he willingly suffered. Whenever we face suffering, it is always against our will. We wouldn't choose to do it. But Paul here is saying there are benefits. So he wants to know the power of Jesus Christ now, but not yet. There is more to come as he lives his life. And this is what he wants, and it's now and not yet. And he goes on to say in verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win Paul realizes that he hasn't yet obtained all that he wants. He's obtained some of it now, but not yet. There is more that is to come. And we are also to follow his example and to press on, recognizing that we will never know everything about Jesus, but we trust in him and ask him to reveal himself to us so that we might know more. So today, as you consider the promises that God has made in his word, perhaps you look at some of them and you say, well, that's not much of a promise. I haven't seen much reality of that in my life. Ask yourself about the now and the not yet. Have you seen a bit of the promise? Have you seen answers to what God has given to us? But do you realize that there's more to come? So today we thank God and we praise him. We thank him for all that he's given to us, and we look ahead with anticipation to what he is to bring to us. And we thank him and we praise him today. So let's bow before him in prayer. Lord God, we pray for the now and not yet. We thank you for all that has been revealed through Jesus Christ, but we recognize that there is much, much more for us to know. Help us, Lord, to trust you today, to trust you for the now, and also to look ahead for the not yet. For we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to finish our service now by singing All I Once Held Dear, which invites us to evaluate our lives at the end of this year and to look ahead and to realize that knowing Jesus is the most important thing for us.
Thank you.
now the blessing at the end of our service today. May we know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, both now and forevermore. Amen.